Do keep your Bibles open if you had them open during that reading, or indeed you might like to turn to them now, page 1010, 1010 in the Church Bibles, and let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you speak to us through it today as you ever did, that it is as relevant today as it ever was, and we pray now as we read it that you would help us to understand more of your ways and of how we should respond to your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Hearing the truth about ourselves is not always a pleasant experience. I think back to school reports. They were a long time ago now. They say, of course, that your school days are the happiest of your life. Let me say they weren't for me. I don't know whether they were for you. I wasn't desperately unhappy as a child, but I enjoy life far more now than I ever did then. My problem was that I just didn't like school. It wasn't the teacher's fault. It wasn't anyone's fault. I just wanted to be out playing sport and games rather than sitting in a classroom. And that's probably why I dreaded that time of the year when the teachers would write reports. At best, my school reports were positively average. Usually they were just terrible. However, there was one year when I really excelled myself, and that year the report was horrendous. Every teacher agreed I was hopeless. I remember well the silence that shrouded our house as my mum and dad read through the contents of the brown envelope that I'd given them. It was in those days when you took home the report in a brown envelope and they opened it. And suddenly there was this horrible feeling in the home. Now, you wouldn't actually believe me about how bad that report was, particularly if you're in education today, because you'll think that I'm exaggerating. But that's because these days you have to be so careful what you write, don't you? You have to be very affirming and totally PC. We go to our children's teachers and say, how are they getting on? And they say all these nice things. No, come on, tell us how they're really getting on. And they can't really tell you. It's okay, we're not going to sue you. Tell us how they're really getting on. Well, back in the 70s, you didn't have to do that. You just said it straight. So the teachers wrote things like this. Paul sets himself incredibly low standards, which unfortunately he fails to live up to. And this, Paul has a very high opinion of himself, an opinion which is not shared by the rest of the class. If Paul put as much effort into his work as he did avoiding it, he'd be a model pupil. Particularly concerning was the RE report. His grasp of detail is worrying. He still thinks Walls of Jericho is an ice cream manufacturer's. And the summary, Paul should do no lasting damage, providing he is given no area of responsibility in any religious organisation. Well, I don't know whether that bit was true, but anyway, it was a terrible report and a terrible experience as my mum and dad read it and then responded to it. However, it changed me. It brought me up sharp, and I knew that I had to do something. Now, hearing the truth about yourself then is not always a pleasant experience, but if we'll listen to it, it can be good for us. And that is certainly true as we listen to what Jesus has to say in Mark chapter 7. Because here, Jesus exposes us for what we really are. Now, when you listen to this, don't think Jesus is out to get you. He's doing it so that if we'll listen, it will do us good. Now, it isn't a present experience, and for that reason, the title for this talk could be I Wish I Didn't Have to Tell You This, or And Now for the Bad News. Look at Mark chapter 7 with me, if you will, and you'll see that the issue in this chapter is what makes someone clean or unclean in God's eyes. What makes us unacceptable or acceptable to God? Those of you who were here last week will have heard Mark speaking on the first section of Mark 7. And he showed us from that passage very helpfully the dangers between false religion and true religion. Very helpful. If you haven't been here last week and didn't have a chance to listen to it, I listened to it on the internet. It's very, very helpful talk, and I'd encourage you to listen to that. The point is, false religion will not put you in the right with God. And so here now, as we move on to the second half of Mark 7, the question is, what makes you clean in God's sight? False religion won't do it. What is it? What's going to make you clean in God's sight? If you were to ask the Pharisees of the day, the religious leaders of the day, they put it all down to external things. You are unclean, you are unacceptable to God when you touch the wrong things or go to the wrong places or eat the wrong food. And Jesus says, no, 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 no. The problem is so much closer to home. The issue is not about what you eat or what you touch. Look what Jesus says in verse 14. Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean. Now, the disciples didn't get it, and so, verse 17, after he left the crowd and entered the house, the disciples asked him about this parable. Are you so dull? He asked. Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean? For it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach, and then out of his body. And in saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. Now, for those of you who are interested in these things, here's why Christians don't have any problem eating a bacon sandwich and pork scratchings. Yes, the Jews had all manner of foods that they considered unclean, things that ruled them out of their relationship with God. Christians don't see it like that because of these words here of Jesus. Mark tells us at the end of verse 19, then in saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. So enjoy your bacon sandwich. I always do when I have one. The food we eat then is not the issue when it comes to being acceptable or unacceptable to God. See verse 18, nothing that enters a man from the outside, the food that we eat, nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean. It doesn't go into his heart, it goes into his stomach. That's not the issue, you see. No, verse 20, he went on. What comes out of a man? What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. And what are those things that come out of us? Verse 21, for from within, out of men's hearts come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, and so on. Here is our problem before a holy, almighty God. Here's what makes us unclean. Here, says Jesus, we have a serious heart condition. My dad has had a heart condition for years. It's ruined life for him, really, in many ways. I mean, he doesn't complain. He gets on with it. But those of you who have a heart condition know how bad it is. Jesus is saying, now, you've got a spiritual heart condition, and it ruins life for you and for others. Although there's a bigger problem, it ruins your relationship with me. I find the order of this list very revealing. It's brilliant the way Jesus constructs this sentence. I've been trying to think, how would I have said this or written this if it was me saying these things? I wonder how you'd have written it. I'd have started, if I was going to list the things that put us out of relationship with God, I'd have started with murder and then theft and then adultery. Those are the really bad things in life, aren't they? Those are the really big things that come out of us and make us unclean before God, aren't they? Now, of course, that is true. Those are big things, and Jesus does mention them. But what is so fascinating is he doesn't start there. He doesn't start with murder and adultery and theft. Why, if he had, most of us, like the Pharisees, are respectable middle class. There's nothing wrong with being respectable. Nothing wrong with being, no matter what class you are, if you're respectable, that's a good thing. But you see, because we're respectable, most of us, if we'd started with those other big things, would have been justifying ourselves. We'd have felt quite proud as he went through the list. Murder? No, haven't done that one. Theft? Nope. Adultery? No. Clean bill of health there. And by the time then Jesus got to verse 22, greed and malice and deceit, we'd kind of say, oh, yeah, okay, I've done a bit of that, but oh, I'm already quite a good person, aren't I? Isn't that what we do? Jesus knows us so well. He knows what we're like. He knows that we're so keen to justify ourselves. So look what he puts at the beginning of the list. He starts with my thought life, verse 21. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts. If we are honest about our thought life, we all know that we're guilty in here, in our thoughts. I've had the most wicked thoughts about some people. There have been people that I've wanted out of my life and off this planet. I've wanted bad things to happen to people because they've crossed me. See, what goes on in my head is very revealing. My thought life shows me that I think I am the center of the universe. How dare you do that to me? Because I'm so important. That's why I feel think bad thoughts about others when they do, because I think I'm so important. If someone else gets in my way, they should be removed. And so, do you see, I have actually committed murder in my head. I may not have murdered someone, probably because I'm frightened of the consequences, but in my thoughts. Oh, and in our thoughts, we've committed sexual immorality. It's the mental striptease, the imagined sex with someone who isn't our spouse. I've not actually committed adultery, but in my head. And then theft and greed, the times I've wanted something so badly that wasn't mine, and if there were no implications, maybe I'd have taken it. And the deceit, making myself out to be something that I am not. We do it in conversation, don't we? Yeah? You know, present the good side. And then envy. I've seen people eaten up with envy. Have you seen that? Maybe it's been true of you. The things that go on in my head reveals what I'm really like. That's why Jesus starts with my thoughts. My thoughts show me my true self, my heart condition. And it's not good. And that is where the problem lies. As someone put it, the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. That is what makes us unclean. See, it's not what goes into a man that makes him unclean. Food comes into the body and out of the body again. It's what comes out of him that makes him unclean. And what comes out of me is not good at all. And there's my problem. I am unclean and therefore rightly excluded from God's presence. He is a holy God. You see, most of us want a God like that. Most of us want a God who, you know, sometimes people say to me, oh, I can't believe in a God who doesn't care about all the evil things in the world. I usually say to them, no, I can't believe in a God like that either. But you see, the reaction is we don't want a God who actually just says it doesn't matter, because we know it does matter. The problem is we turn it when it comes to us. So he is a holy God, and he rightly shouldn't have anything unholy in his presence. Heaven would not be heaven if he started having unholy things in his presence. And so we're rightly excluded from God. And that's a problem for all of us. That is why the world is such a wicked place. War, paedophilia, greed, starvation. We know the world is an evil place. But it's too easy to look out there to blame everyone else. Jesus' point is quite simple. If we were to trace all the evil in the world back to its source, we would end up in here, in our hearts. 4 verse 21, from within, out of our hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. And just look at the strength of the language here. Again, it's such a shock, isn't it, to hear Jesus speaking like this, and to know that he's speaking like this to us. It's such a shock. In verse 21, he describes our thoughts as evil. In verse 23, all these evils come out from inside a man and make him unclean. It's remarkable. It's remarkably hard for people to accept bad news. But we're evil. I met a guy at a friend's housewarming party not so long ago, and we got chatting. Never met him before, and he asked me what I did for a living. I asked him what he did for a living. He said, "I'm an accountant," and he then said to me, "And what do you do for a living?" And I said, "I'm a vicar," and he said, "I've never done anybody any harm." It was a remarkable response. I hadn't for 1 minute thought we had. But you see how instantly we want to justify ourselves. I don't know why he thought I was going to think he'd done anything different. It's a remarkable response. But you see, that is what's going on in us all the time, and that's what we need to overcome, this desire to justify ourselves. Now please, this morning, will you avoid that knee-jerk reaction? Hearing the truth about ourselves is not always a pleasant experience, but if we'll listen to it, it can do us tremendous good. If we'll honestly listen and open our heart to this heart condition, we can be made clean. For when we realise we're like this, when we realise how evil we really are, we will beg Jesus for a heart transplant, for a fresh start. We'll look to Jesus to make us clean and acceptable to God. We'll realise that nothing we do can overcome this problem inside. I think sometimes people know that deep down. They've tried New Year's resolution. They've tried to be good. And they can't do it. Are you realising that today? And that, of course, is the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the good news of the communion service that we'll enjoy in just a moment. As Jesus died on the cross, he died to make us clean. When we were at theological college, we weren't at theological college together, but not very far apart. And when we were at theological college, Mark will remember this, we would have to preach sermons, and lecturers would come and listen to us to see how we did. You know, they didn't quite hold up sort of, you know, a 10 or a, well, they would never hold up a 10 for me. They didn't hold up a card, but you would have an assessment. Now, if ever the lecturer couldn't come to be with you, you would try and get a recording of the sermon and then hand it to the lecturer, and they'd listen to it that week. And a friend of mine went to a church where the lecturer couldn't come, and he got a record. His name's Bob, and he thought he made a terrible, terrible job of the sermon, but he knew that he had to have it assessed, and so he got the, it was, in those days, it was a tape. You know, how old are we? Ben thinks we're old. I was at church the other day, and we were selling off a whole load of tapes from years ago, and the youth were there and saying, "Oh, we've got some tapes. You want to pick them up?" He said, "We haven't got a tape player at home." He'd never seen a tape before, so there we go. It's terrible. Anyway, it was tapes in those days, and so my friend handed the tape to the lecturer. This was on the Monday morning, and the lecturer went into his study and took it out of the box and put it into his tape player in his study so that he could listen, got the forms all out before him, and pushed the button, and it started to go around. And just before it started, the phone rang, and he picked up the phone. He had a chat, one of those phone conversations that went on and on and on, a bit like this illustration, actually. Anyway, I'll get there in the end. It went on and on and on, and eventually he put the phone down, and he thought, well, what was I doing? And he suddenly realised, yeah, he was listening to this tape, and it was still going around, but there was no sound coming out. And he suddenly realised he pressed the record button. The whole thing had been wiped clean. My friend was thrilled. It was a rubbish sermon. He had a chance to do it all over again. It's just a silly little example. A silly little example of what Jesus did for us when he died on the cross. He died to wipe all the past clean. Well, not all the good stuff. There'd be lots in your life to celebrate. You know, if this were not a cassette tape, but a videotape or a DVD, and we put it up on the screen, there'd be much to celebrate in your life, wouldn't there? Maybe loving relationships, maybe a great home of kindness and support, maybe a flourishing career, maybe a great sporting achievement, all sorts of things. Fantastic. But if you're honest, and if you look at this list, and certainly this is true for me, on my DVD, there'd be moments that would be very, very embarrassing. There'd be some moments I'd be digging you in there, I'd say, I like this bit. There'd be other bits where I'd have to leave the room, because it would be so terrible. Now, Jesus, you see, wipes clean all those bits as he dies on the cross. That's what he was doing. Isn't that wonderful? You and I can't get right with God by trying to be good because of this stuff in verses 21 and 22. It's all there in our lives, in our thoughts. But Jesus died knowing that, saying, I love you so much, I'll die. The one who never did any of this stuff, I'll die so that you can be cleansed. Isn't that amazing? Do you know anybody who loves you that much? I mean, I bet you know people who love you very much indeed. But do you know anybody who, you know, somebody who you've hated all your life and you've never given them really what they deserve, and yet they would die for you? You might say, I don't know anybody like that. I say, there is someone like this, Jesus. He loves you that much. This is how, as I draw to a close, one Bible passage puts it. God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him, in Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. We might be put in the right with God. Let me gently ask you this question as I close. Have you ever made this fresh start with God? See, it's open to everyone. Actually, I think we'll see that next week as we look at the next section It's open to everyone, this fresh start. And so as I ask you this question, have you ever made this fresh start? I'm not asking you, are you a good and kind person? I'm not asking you if you're a churchgoer. I'm not asking you if you believe God's there. I'm asking you if you've ever made a fresh start with God. And if you've ever acknowledged this, that in your life there's a whole bunch of stuff that is wrong and you can't deal with it. And have you ever handed it all over to Jesus at the cross and said, I'm sorry, I want to start afresh with you. I'm going to trust in you and you alone for my forgiveness. I went to church for years and I never realised that that was what it meant to be a Christian, to make this fresh start. I thought it was all about being a good person. Now, if you've never done that, don't you think today would be a great day to do that? Might be you've been coming here for a long time. Might be this is your first time. Today would be a great day to make a fresh start. And in a moment, I'm going to pray a prayer where you can do just that. Before I do, let me say to those of us who already have made that fresh start, as we look at verses 21 and 22 and see how we really are, as we realise that verse 23, we are evil, as we take communion today, it will be a wonderful relief again. And the response should be, Jesus, you've done all this for me. Thank you so much. I give my life back to you afresh. And I will do anything for you. Well, for now, I'm going to pray a prayer. It's in a book that I'd be happy to give to people at the end of this service. I'd be happy to give it to you because they're marks. but I will be happy to give this to you. But I'm going to pray a prayer that's in here. And this, do please take this from me if you pray this prayer. But it just goes like this. It says, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry that I've been going my own way. Thank you for paying the price for my self-centeredness by dying on the cross. Please come and take first place in my life. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. Now, if you've never prayed a prayer like that and you feel that God has been speaking to you this morning, you want to. I'm going to pray that prayer line by line. And if you echo it in your own mind, he will hear you and you can make this fresh start with Jesus and begin again knowing that, wow, I'm now in the right with God. So let's pray, and now I'll pray this line by line, and if you'd like to, please echo it in your own heart and mind. This is the prayer. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry that I've been going my own way. Thank you for paying the price of my self-centeredness by dying on the cross. Please come and take first place in my life. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. Amen.